So I would say I'm a pretty good artist. I like to draw. I like to color with my girls. And once in high school, I was had a girlfriend. And during class, instead of paying attention, I had her picture and I was drawing her picture. Her name was not Kramer. I don't know who Kramer is. It wasn't Seinfeld. And so I was drawing it with pencil, and it was, my estimation, was pretty good. My teacher walked by, old Jewish guy, and he said, "You're in love?" I said, "Yeah." And so I just spent the whole period drawing this picture. Now, my grandfather was, this wasn't a hobby, he was a professional. And he went to, was painting and drawing since six. And even went to Cooper Union, if anyone knows in New York. It's one of the best schools in the country. And actually, you get in, you don't pay. It's just so exclusive. They only accept a handful of people. You have to be that good that they even cover your tuition. That's how good he was. And he tried to get me to study art. He did sculpture. I'm like, yeah, I'm 12, I'm 13. Like, I don't really care. But I, when I finally was started, I drew something. I said, "Wow, this is pretty good. I want to show Papa." So I get to my grandfather's house, and I say, "Hey, Papa, take a look." And he looks at it, looks at it. "The arm is too straight. You need to and fix the spacing between the eyes." What? So I take the picture, and I walk out of the room. Great. Thanks a lot. Share with my mom. It's like, "Dad, you could have given him some encouragement." But he's a professional. That's what his comments were. That's what he sees. A long, long time ago, there was a very influential Jewish prophet. And this prophet had a vision of the living God. And he saw God seated on his heavenly throne. And he saw angels around this throne. And he saw them, even angels, covering their face and their feet. And they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And this prophet, all of us know, I would imagine, freaks out. He's panicked. He's undone. And he says, "Whoa." In Hebrew, it says, "Hoili. I'm a man of unclean lips. Amidst the people of unclean lips." He can't respond, "Holy, holy, holy." He can't worship God. He can't even bow down. The first and only reaction he has to God is, "I'm not worthy to be here. I am unclean." Now, this is the prophet of God. This is a guy who God uses to speak for him. And what does he say? "My lips are unclean. And I live in a people of unclean lips." He's terrified. He's dejected. And God doesn't have to say anything. He just sees God, and he realizes how sinful, how far he is from the glory of God. That's big. That's a big deal. This man sees God, and he says, "This is wrong. And this is wrong." During the Second Temple period, a very religious man approached the temple of God. And he stood and he prayed to himself. He said, "Thank you, God, that I'm a religious guy, that I'm pious, that I tithe, that I read, that I study the Torah, that I fast. I'm not like these sinners. I'm not like these slackers, these undisciplined guys. I do the right thing. I'm a good Jew." The same time, there was a man who wasn't so good in his eyes and in the eyes of those around him. And he stands further back from the righteous guy, and he falls down on his knees and he says, "Oh God." He doesn't even look up. He says, "Have mercy on me, sinner that I am." Now, we know who's justified, right? can we really hide anything from God? Can we really be hidden from God? Is there any way to approach God and say, I am right with you? Is there any way to approach God and say, look at this part, but don't look at this stuff? Is there any way for us to justify ourselves in the eyes of God with whatever we've done, whether we're really righteous or whether we're not so good? Is there any way to show God something we've done and say, look how good this is? And he'll say, yeah, you're right. That's good. It's perfect. Anyone have that confidence? I don't. When I was courting Brooke, I would meet with our rabbi and his wife. We would often meet together, the four of us, and sit and order Chinese food and talk. Sometimes I would just meet with the rabbi himself. And eventually he said, you know what, I think you need some more professional help. So I started going to a therapist. And I would meet with him once a week. Really nice guy. Very calm, very methodical. I had stuff to deal with. And it was humbling. But as the more I kept with it, I started to improve. I started to get free of some of these things that were burdening me, that were holding me back, that were inhibiting me from moving forward and being the man I needed to be able to marry Brooke. And I came to him one time and I said, Dan, I think I'm really doing good, but it seems weird. I come kind of and face this conundrum. He said, yeah. It seems like the closer I get to God, it seems like I realize how much more sin I have. And he said, yeah, it's ironic that the closer we come to Yeshua and his light, it exposes more things that we once didn't see or that we were in denial of or we had forgotten. We put in the closet, we put in the attic. But then they get closer to God, we start to see those things. Like, oh, man, this stinks. It's like I want to get closer to God, but then I realize just how far away I am. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Because it exposes us to be healed. And it exposes us to be able to receive the love of God. It reminds me of a time I used to go, again, when I used to go to have my voice lessons with this master teacher. Now, this teacher he used to fly to Europe, very low-key, and he would work with professional singers who didn't want to be known, and they had some issues, and they would go to him, and he would fine-tune them. He could essentially see into my body what was going on as I sing. He would say, do this, or this is too tight, or loosen this, or try this exercise. I'm like, how do you know this? But that's how good he was. He knew what was happening in the body by what he heard. This is what God is like. I'm going to spoil the whole message right now and say, there's nothing you can hide from God. There's nothing you can hide. But the good news is you don't need to hide anything from God. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it's true. Sometimes I think I have set times of prayer in the morning. I get up every day, and before I have to get up pretty early because my daughter gets up pretty early. So if I want quiet, I have to get up before she does. And sometimes she comes towards the end or even halfway through. Hi, good morning. What are you doing? The same thing I do every morning. But one of the good things about having times of set prayer is that you know that there's a point in the day where you're going to have to go before God and pray. And like Rabbi Michael was saying, I've gone to God and like, I've done something wrong. I've done something not so good. I don't want to go before God. But I realize the fact is, these are some of the best times to go before God. You don't go before God when everything's perfect, because guess what? That'll never happen. But you're going to go before God even when things are bad, even when you've done something wrong. And if you're married, you're a man and you're married, you got plenty of opportunities. I realize, oh gosh, all right, here we go. I got to go before God and apologize and repent. But those are some of the best times. I kind of have a set routine on what I pray. I allot my time, certain periods to pray about, you know, worshiping God, praying in the Spirit, singing, you know, verses of praise to God, personal prayers and requests. And then sometimes I have to throw it all out the window and say, I got to deal with this issue. And I got to humble myself and say, oh, God, help. And I'll look at verses that deal with this issue and touch upon this issue. And I'll pray these things and say, God, help me. Search me, know me. And it's not easy. I feel embarrassed. It's like, you know, just even as who I am as a man and now as my position as a rabbi, it's like, but this is what we're supposed to do. Especially a leader. But that is, it goes for everyone. But the good news again, as I'll say, we go before God, whether we have something beautiful to offer to him or something not so good. And he heals us, and he redeems us, and he cleanses us, and he accepts us. My daughter spills milk, and she does it a lot. You know, she'll look at me. Uh-oh, I did something wrong. And I take a breath. It's okay. Would I reject her because she spilled milk? No. But I say, it's okay. Assure her I still love her. And then, of course, I clean it up, although I'm trying to train her now to clean it up. But what's the difference? What's the difference? She tries to hide it at times. She takes her blanket. What's hiding? Nothing. What's under there? I don't know. What'd you do? I can't remember. But she has this face that I know when she's done something wrong, or they hide under the table, or they go in the corner. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Are we any different? Are we really any different? Especially in the eyes of God. Let's take Yeshua's parable that I paraphrase from Luke 18. And we could update it. There's one version that could be, let's say person says, they go before God and they say, you know what, God, I'm a good person. We hear that a lot. I'm a good person. I think about people. I take care of people. I do unto others as I would have them do unto me. I treat them the way I would like to be treated. I'm pretty honest. I don't sin that much. Or maybe it's like little sins. I'm pretty good. I'm not that religious, but I'm a good person. One could say that, I suppose. But really, again, if God is this master, God is this all-knowing, God is the best of the best, can we really go before God and say, I'm a good person? Would I really go before my voice teacher and say, I'm a good singer? It's like, yeah, you're pretty good, but you're not this good. Or what if it's another situation? Well, let's say it's a very good believer. It goes before God and says, God, I'm a good believer. I pray every day. I fast during the week. I read the Bible. I come to services. I tithe regularly. Look at me. I'm pretty good. I'm a good believer. If you were to put your life of faith compared to Yeshua's, are you really that good? Have you really reached the mark? Have you attained the prize in this world? Can anyone truly, honestly say that? If you can, I'll give you the mic. Because I haven't. My point in saying this is that whatever laurels we have, whatever crowns we've been given, whatever roses we've received, whatever comments on your posts on Facebook you've got, whatever, how many likes you have, ask yourself, how does this compare to the greatness of God? And could I really come before God and say, look how good I am. Look how wonderfully I've done. Look how faithful I've been. Or there's another way to try. You say, if God, I've done my best, and I keep wanting to do better. But when I come before you, you are so good. You are so great. Your love is so strong. I come to you solely on your mercy. I come to you solely based on the fact that Yeshua paid for my penalty, that he gave his life for my life. So on that alone, I come before you and say, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Cleanse me. Heal me. Sanctify me. Redeem me. I'm exposed to you so that I can become more like Yeshua. Really, at the end of the day, we can't come before him with anything that we've received or how good we've been. And what the consequence of this is, there's such freedom in being able to go before God and say, I don't have to try to prove it or be so good that I can come there acceptably before God. Rather, because of his great love and mercy and the obedience and sacrifice of Yeshua, I can approach God. What freedom is there in that? This is what the Son sets us free, because we don't have to earn ourselves into that position. We don't have to say, I've done enough, so accept me now. And even when these shortcomings come up and say, God, I feel so dirty, I feel so unclean, God says, I'll cleanse you. And it's not like we have to pay for it. The price has already been paid. The only thing that we do have to give to God is ourself. The difference between the righteous man in Yeshua's parable, the quote-unquote righteous man who had contempt for others, and the sinner who stood far off, a tax collector, is that the righteous man, it says in the scripture, in the wording, it said he prayed to himself. Now, many of us can kind of put on religion, if you will, put on the right words, put on the right behavior. But dude, again, there's no fooling God. And why even try? Why even try? Who are you fooling? Yourself. Go before God in his mercy and say, look, God, I need help. So much in today's world where people say, no, the religious people, it's just a show. But not here. Not with us. We don't have to be. I mean, and how powerful it is when you show someone the power of God through the work that he's done within us, that people can see this is real. People don't want to hear words. They want to see power. They want to see the experience of God and the changing power it has to transform your life into what you were and the garbage that you came out of into his glorious light to become like Yeshua. Yesterday? I was at the gym, and I'm talking to there's an older Jewish woman there, and start sharing with her. She was listening to Amazing Grace on Thursday and singing loud enough for me to hear while she has her headphones on, and like, well, thanks for sharing. And I said, I couldn't help but overhear you were singing Amazing Grace. She's like, yeah, I like that song. I mean, it is a nice song. So we got to this conversation. I said, you know, I'm a associate rabbi of the Messianic congregation. You know what that is? And she said, yeah. I said, She's talking about her aches and pains. So Yeshua can heal you. And she's talking about a lot of my friends that are already passed away. She's in her late 70s. And she just kind of didn't seem the most pleasant person. I said, there's real hope, life, healing in Yeshua. There's power in his name. Well, that's nice if you believe that. I mean, that's really good you can believe that. I said, it's not just belief. You can experience him, then you believe. There's power here. And I say this to encourage you, at even 7 in the morning when you're sweating, you can still share the love of God. But it's the fact is, people, we're not in the business of believing. We're in the business of experiencing God and trusting him. And keep going before him daily and saying, God, heal me. God, transform me. So when people see me, they don't see me. They see you. You know, when Isaiah, when he went before God and said, woe am I, a man of unclean lips and a people of unclean lips, the angel takes a coal. Remember, he sees God in his throne. So what altar is he taking from? The heavenly altar. And what sacrifice is there? It's Yeshua's sacrifice. A coal from that sacrifice alone would even purify his lips. Now imagine the whole sacrifice, how much that could cleanse. And so what does Isaiah say? God asks, who will go for us? He says, I'll go. Just before, the guy was saying, I'm unclean. But look at the power of the cleansing of God. You go before God honestly and say, oh, I'm unclean lips. God cleanses you and says, send me. I have a story to tell. I want to be used by you to preach to others and to tell others the power of God. It's much more powerful to share with the testimony of somebody who's been dirty, who's now clean, and share with others than someone says, I've always been clean. Then someone's going to say, well, I'm not clean. I haven't always been clean. Or maybe you're just a religious person. It's just what you believe. You're clean. I live in the world that's not so clean. Rather, you could say, look, I've gone through a lot. I've been through a lot. I this stuff I don't even want to tell you about, but I know the power of God, and I know what it does. And it can work for you, too. Which one's more powerful? Which one's going to sell, if you will? When we go before God, yeah, sometimes it's scary if we're going to be honest. You'd ask yourself, am I praying to myself or am I praying to God? Am I standing in front of a mirror or am I standing in front of the living God? Do I try to make God whom I want him to be so that I feel good? Or do I come before God honestly and say, oh Lord, cleanse me. Oh Lord, heal me. The power of God is so awesome. It exposes us. But then his love comes and reaches out and pulls us in. And it covers all of our sins. Not some, all of them. And it redeems us. That parts that have been tainted and broken, it heals us. And healing can take time. And there may need to be retraining, learning how to think differently. That's what's called discipleship. But if you're honest with yourself, and if you're honest with you when you go before God, you will be different. You will look forward to times of prayer, even when you mess up, because you're going to know. It's like you imagine your car. Oh, gosh, someone got mud on my car again. It snowed. There's all that schmutz on the side. But you know there's a car wash. God's car wash is free, and it's at your house. And guess what? They even come to your house and they pick up your car and they go through the car, they go to the car wash and they bring it back to your house. That's what it's like. All you got to do is call God. The car is dirty again. Okay. We're no different. You got schmutz on your side? Call God. Go before God and say, God, I need to be cleansed. I need to be healed. I'm not going to fake it with you. I need help. And I will say this now as more as like the rabbi. 5 minutes. You want a good detail job on your car? It's not 5 minutes. Detailed job takes at least an hour. Go before God. Go and stay there. Pray. Don't rush this time. You go to your trainer at the gym and say, make me in shape in 5 minutes. You got to set aside the time. You got to stay there and you got to be quiet. You got to put your phone away. You got to turn it off so you don't hear the ding. Go there. Be honest before God. Be honest before your spouse, your brother, your sister, your friend. Yaakov, James tells us to confess our sins to one another. Not in some sort of necessarily Catholic way, but to be honest, to be exposed. Why? So that we can be healed. So we can be better. If you trust a person, share with them your shortcomings so you can get better, so they can help you. There's nothing we can hide before God, but that's a good thing. We don't have to hide anything before God. And you know what? Sometimes there's stuff we didn't even know we were hiding. And God says, look, you're hiding it. Oh, man. All right. Let's do this. This brings us to freedom. And people, a lot of times, what was it, Rachel? I'm living my truth. Was that what you said the other day? People live their truth, right? I'm living my truth. There's a truth to that statement. We can be living in truth. Yeshua said the truth will set us free. Not little t, but big T. We go to God and we're honest with Him. We expose ourselves to Him. Now, I'm not saying don't become neurotic or some sort of hypochondriac with all these things you got to feel you need to be healed by, but just go before God and just be honest. Worship Him. Listen to His Spirit. What is He saying to you? And the truth will set you free. The truth will change you. The truth will make you a vessel that by which you can share the goodness of God with others. Don't share about necessarily what you believe. Share about His power. Share about what He's done. Share about what He is doing. Share about His accessibility to be healed, to be changed, to be set free. That's what Yeshua quoted when He stood up in the synagogue. The Spirit of God is upon me because He's anointed me to preach good news, to set the captive free, to open the eyes of the blind. That's our mission. But it's got to start with us first. So with all that said, we're going to open up for prayer. For those who want to come and approach God. Now, if you don't do it today, you're not bad. You're not a bad believer. You can still do it at home. But there is some legitimacy to doing it here if you want. It could be a start, something you want to commit yourself to. And even if there are people here who wanted to embrace Yeshua and to come before Yeshua for the first time, feel free. What's so much funny about Yeshua is, yeah, he's got a bad rap because of a lot of what the church, the big C, has done. But Yeshua Himself, what's not to love? What's not to love? How much He gives and loves us and changes us and heals us and sets us free. But the goodness is also for believers who have already committed themselves to walking the way. It never stops. Never stops. He's the perfect, perfect master. And He corrects us. He loves us so we can become better, become like Him. So let's close our eyes. Pray about it. If you pray, ask the Holy Spirit to come. Again, if you do feel a little embarrassed, it's okay. No one's going to judge you. No, there's freedom in His truth. There's freedom in approaching God And even if he does expose us to stuff that we have to deal with, there's freedom there. The consequences is that we're free. We'll be better than trying to hide it, trying to live a certain life on our strength rather than living through his strength, his love, his forgiveness, his healing power. He died so that we may live. He resurrected so that we could have the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, Father, we commit this time to you. Speak through your Spirit, Lord. Move those to come here, to make a start, and to bless the congregation in the name of Yeshua. Continue to move within us. This wouldn't be a belief, but a living, powerful relationship of a father and a son, father and a daughter, master and his disciples, a rabbi and his students, a lover and a beloved. Pray you move within those whom you would call to receive you, Lord, or to be refreshed by your love. Many waters cannot be quenched by love. Rather, many waters cannot quench love. It is too powerful. It's too powerful. It's too powerful. And there's nothing you could do to make him not want you to come. Day after day. Day after day. So if you feel led, you want to come up here, receive prayer, please do. Elders, would you mind coming up, please?